Welcome to the Ben Greenfield Fitness.com podcast. We provide you with free exercise, nutrition, weight loss, triathlon, and wellness advice from the top fitness experts in the nation. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you're just trying to shed a few pounds, get ready for non-run-of-the-mill, cutting-edge content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield here, and today on the call, I have Mark Moses from markmoses.net. Now, Mark coaches 26 of the world's top entrepreneurs, CEOs, and companies on how to grow their businesses, how to grow their people, how to elevate their performance, and the guy is all over the place. He travels around the world speaking at conferences and events. He started his first company when he was 19, and since then, he's successfully built and sold two companies. He won Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year Award. He also won the Blue Chip Enterprise Award for overcoming adversity. His last company ranked number one fastest growing company in LA, and it was number 10 on the Inc. 500 of the fastest growing private companies in the U.S. He serves on the board of the Children's Hospital at Orange County and just accomplishes a ton of stuff in terms of the success of his business. But his accomplishments don't really stop there, because Mark also won the U.S. National Squash Championships in 1992 and then moved on to a completely different beast. He's completed 12 Ironman triathlons since then. He's completed the Hawaii Ironman World Championships five times. And folks, when it comes to knowing how to combine success in business with success in fitness and staying in killer shape while still making money and running a successful career at the same time, this guy knows his stuff. So, Mark, thank you so much for coming on the call today, man.
Ben, that was a nice introduction. Thank you.
Well, you know, I there's so many places that we could start, but I'm curious, when it comes to all the success that you've had in your business, I mean, what drew you to doing something like an Ironman triathlon?
Sorry, it's a great question. I had often been training for a marathon, and as I got deep into the marathon process, I'd always find myself with shin splints or calf issues. And then one day I was walking in my office, and somebody had a photo that looked like they were crossing the finish line. I said, "Oh, you've done a marathon. Congratulations. That's really cool. I've been trying to train for one but keep getting injured." And she said, "No, pal, that was an Ironman." And we got talking about Ironman, and she talked me into signing up for a sprint triathlon. Mm-hmm. I didn't even own a bike. She arranged to find me a bike on eBay. We bought the bike, and 3 weeks later, I did my first sprint triathlon, which was one of those ones that goes in reverse order, and you swim 150 yards in the pool at the end.
Wow, that almost sounds dangerous to throw the swim in at the end.
Well, it was a pretty short race, but the pool swim was kind of nutty. But it was good experience, and so that's how I got into triathlon, and it just became very addictive. I really liked it.
Yeah.
And this was March of 2004, and I was 39. And then later that year, my son had a brain tumor, and it was a pretty challenging time in our lives. And I got inspired by my son's recovery. He was 4 at the time, and decided I wanted to do something outrageous to thank the doctors for saving his life. So I decided that I would sign up for an Ironman and raise a bunch of money for the Children's Hospital of Orange County.
Wow.
And the first race, I raised $110,000, and over the years, I've helped raise over $300,000 for the Children's Hospital. So it's made me feel good, and that's how I got drawn into Ironman.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think that's something that I think a lot of people don't really do is think about something maybe bigger outside of themselves when training for Ironman. Do you think that is something that almost helped you stick with it and stay motivated, was kind of going after that goal that was a little bit more than just crossing the finish line?
Well, that's absolutely true, Ben. It's interesting because as I was going through the training and sucking down these big rides, and it was tough doing the 100 milers, and I hadn't ridden a bike since high school, so this was a whole new experience. And then, of course, the running injuries and plantar fasciitis. But because I had made this commitment to raise money for the hospital, I was in regardless. Mm. So I was doing it despite the injuries. And you know what? Because I was doing it for a cause, and I got all my buddies behind me, and I was doing it in honor of my son, the whole experience just made it just truly awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, you've gone on from there. You've done, obviously, 11 more races. You've done the Ironman World Championship several times, and you're running all these businesses as well. So for you, what have you found to be some of the biggest challenges for a successful guy like you to still stay in swimming, biking, and running shape?
I don't know if I'd use the successful bucket as much as, like, for many of us, we just struggle with time, right? Mm. Time for work, time for family. Travel can be travel makes it really difficult to do all of that. And I think the biggest thing is just having a plan and being focused and disciplined to get it done. Being disciplined when you're on the road, disciplined at home, and having a plan and building a plan around your travel and around your life. Even with my business and my family events, I plan my workouts, and then I build my business around. Fortunately, I have the flexibility that I can do that, but it enables me to do that. When I go on the road, it's a little more challenging, but I always try, depending, of course, with time I get into town, if I'm getting in at a time that's not too late, even a 20-minute little run getting into town or 20 minutes on the elliptical might help adjust it, time zone change. I think it's just about wanting to do it and just being disciplined about it.
So one of the things that I've noticed about you, because we've talked about your training and your workouts, is that you have certain groups that you're a part of, like you do Masters, or you have a personal trainer that you meet at the gym. Have you found that to be better for you to have those groups and those scheduled activities versus kind of like having your solo workouts that you're able to just do whenever you feel like doing them?
I love the camaraderie of Masters and doing it with friends. And when I swim by myself, it's hard to push yourself as hard. And on those days when you're dragging, or on those days where you just might not feel like getting out of bed, going and knowing you're with a group, a big group, and having a decent coach makes all the difference. And I really enjoy Masters. It's amazing how fast an hour swim goes by when you're with a group, as I'm sure many people listening to this already know.
So let's...
The personal trainer, I'm a pretty disciplined guy, and having the personal trainer, it just pushes me harder than I would push myself, and it makes me stick it out for that whole hour and work what I should, not what I might want to that day. And I like it. I like the discipline. It just works for me.
Let's say somebody's listening in and they've signed up for an Ironman and they just suck at swimming, or they want that swimming motivation from a Masters class like you described. How did you kind of get involved in that whole scenario? I mean, did you just kind of like wander into a Masters class one day? Did you have to work your way up to that level when you started training for Ironman? Or what's your advice to somebody who kind of wants to get into that scenario?
Well, I think getting a couple of swim lessons, 2, 3, 4, maybe 6 swim lessons, and then just join up for a Masters class. There's classes that go on all the time at many facilities, and they got the fast lane with the real fast folks, they got the medium lane, and then they got the people that are more beginners. I think there's a lane for everyone, and that group camaraderie and that discipline showing up all the time really pulls you along. Now, as you know, technique does matter. And with not that many lessons, someone can begin picking up the technique and can get a lot better quickly. For a lot of friends of mine or even clients of mine that got into this, their biggest fear has been the swim. Mm. And it's amazing. It's like the appetizer when you do an Ironman. It's just such a little piece of the whole day. And for many people, once they've joined the Masters, done the swims, gotten in the swim shape, that becomes the least of their worries in an Ironman.
Yeah, and I know the Masters website, the usms.org, like if you're listening in and you want to go find a Masters in your area, they've got some great little search engines over there. So I'll be sure and link to those in the show notes for people listening in who want to join up with a group like Mark did. So, you know, you've done 12 races, Mark, and I'm curious how your training has kind of evolved over those 12 races from, you know, doing the sprint triathlon and that first Ironman to kind of being a seasoned veteran now.
Ben, it's a great question. It's a question I love to comment on. I used to be one of those guys that I've always had a coach, and I've liked having a coach. I believe in it. I want to be able to ask my questions that I have, especially as a newbie. And I started out with the traditional Ironman training plan from, you know, the beginning days through to about a year ago, frankly, when I met you. And now I'm doing the minimalist training program. So the old program, or I'll call the old school program, is a lot of hours, slogging away at a lot of miles, a lot of time. In peak Ironman season, that was 15 to 23 hours a week. It was a ton. I was tired. I needed to go to bed early. The typical triathlete that people mock, that they got to go to bed early and they're always pooped because they got to get up and work out in the morning. And
right.
So when I met you, I guess before I met you, I'm friends with Sammy Inkinen that you had done an interview with. And about him training about 10 hours a week, and I reached out to Sammy going, hey, man, is this for real, or are you just some kind of freak gifted athlete, which also is obviously true that he is. Yet he sent me his training program. I reviewed it, made a lot of sense, and then, Ben, you and I got on the phone, and I wasn't certain that I really bought into it, whether this minimalist training program could really get me through an Ironman, and even, frankly, I thought it could get me through a half Ironman, but I wasn't sure. Well, right. Here's the bottom line. You and I started working together in March of last year, February last year. I had a snowmobile crash in February of last year, and for 7 weeks, I was either on crutches, a boot, a cane, or some deal where I wasn't walking. And we were able to get me through this minimalized training program when I got going again to do 3 half Ironmans last year, PR'd at the last half Ironman in Cozumel, and then go back to Kona in October and have my best Kona out of the 5 Konas I had done with this minimalist training program. And what I liked about it was, even though I wasn't sure, and I told you this many times, whether it would really work, it freed up a lot of time, which I liked. It probably freed up 8 to 10 hours a week. Secondly, I wasn't as tired as I normally would be because the workouts weren't as long. I wasn't slogging away doing 600-mile rides. We would do these shorter rides with more intensity and some good, meaningful intervals. As a matter of fact, some of my favorites were the 8 or 10 8-minute hard intervals with 2-minute recoveries with a short warm-up, short cool-down. I love those workouts, and my long ride was done in under 2.5 hours. It was cool. And to be able to PR at both my Kona experience and at the Half Ironman in Cozumel, I'm a huge believer in the program when it works.
Well, I got to tell you one thing. Now, when I have a new client approach me about coaching, one of the first things that I tell them is never to step foot near a snowmobile, ever. That was a tough way to start things off. So
absolutely, it sucks to roll a snowmobile at 1 mile an hour.
Oh, I can't imagine. So yeah, I'm curious. Standing on the starting line, or you know, in the case of Ironman Hawaii, treading water on the starting line in the water there, mentally, when you know that maybe you haven't done a ton of 100-mile bike rides, or you haven't run 20 miles multiple times in training, or done lots and lots of, you know, 4 or 5K swims, how do you kind of overcome that mental question mark of whether or not you can go the distance? I mean, how did you tackle that?
That is a very good question. I wasn't sure. I guess at the end, you just believe that you can because you've done it before and you can do it again and you've done the work. And at the end of the day, you just have to trust that the training that we did was enough. And frankly, Ben, I was very straight up with you many times. I said I wasn't sure. I told you many times, wasn't sure if this was going to be enough, and it was nothing like I had done before. And so sitting there in Kona treading water, you know, it was too late to worry about it. So it was game on, and I was just going to enjoy the experience. Wasn't sure, but it was sure nice rolling out a PR.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, that was one of the same things I experienced when I started training less and less for Ironman was that concept of standing on the starting line, just wondering if the human body does indeed have that innate endurance that it has. And, you know, it does. You just have to put your head down, start racing, and amazingly, the body keeps going. So in terms of lessons that you've learned, when, you know, you talked a little bit about time management and how managing time really is one of the toughest parts about this, you mentioned a few of you know, things like doing quick runs when you get to where you're going, doing short, intense interval training sessions. But are there other lessons that you've learned, you know, when you're traveling a lot or when you've got a really busy day, about how to manage your time and still stay fit, whether from the time management standpoint or whether from kind of like the style of the workouts that you do standpoint?
Yeah, I find like the Tabata workouts, you can go in and even on an elliptical, or you could do this, you could do it on a little spin bike in 45 minutes. And it's amazing what kind of workout you can get in, the intensity you can get in, or sometimes the 2 minutes on, 1 minute off workouts. Amazing how much that carries, especially on the road. If all you have is 30 minutes, you can get a good 30-minute workout in the hotel gym. And even if the hotel doesn't have a gym, you could get in a great core workout in your hotel room and do a whole bunch of stuff that will make a difference, and it will carry and help your training.
Now, for the people who haven't had the extreme pleasure of having experienced a Tabata workout, can you fill us in on how that goes?
The Tabata workout is intense, and it's a 5 minute warm up. It's 10 minutes of 1 minute on. Pretty good on and 1 minute off, and then it's a 5 minute steady, and then you get the treat of the 4 minute, I call it the real Tabata part, which is 20 seconds on, game on, all out, 10 second recovery, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, and you repeat that for the whole 4 minutes. It is amazing how hard that is. It's only 4 minutes, but it's so hard. And then 10 minutes steady after that, and then you repeat that 4 minute cycle again. And literally, if you work hard at it, by the end of that, you are gassed.
Yeah.
Then you, then you a little steady, and then warm down, and you're done. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a key travel session. I know a lot of especially like trainers or coaches who might be familiar with the Tabata set might be scratching their heads right now, because you may be familiar with the quick warm up, do a Tabata set, cool down, be done. But what I've found is that for the distance triathletes that I work with, like the half Ironman, Ironman triathletes, we actually get a lot more bang for the buck by doing a long warm up, getting some lactic acid into the legs, then doing the Tabata set, then cooling down, and then doing the Tabata set again. So it's a longer workout, but frankly, most half Ironman to Ironman distance athletes have an expectation of kind of being able to go a little bit longer than a 12 minute one set Tabata workout, you know, the 4 minutes with the warm up and the cool down, which is why we go through it twice like that. But if you haven't yet tried a double time through a Tabata set, or heck, even once, it's a treat. So, Mark, I know one other thing that you did was you used some of the Sufferfest routines. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Yeah, I love the Sufferfest. I do that at home on my home trainer, do it often. Sometimes I just print out the program. I think one of them, I forget the name of it, but it's like an hour, 45 minutes long. So if I'm somewhere, maybe on vacation, and I want to get a long workout in, like, for example, this year leading up to the Hawaii Ironman, I spent a month in Europe. So a month in Italy, traveling around in Turkey, the access to gyms, and it was just a little bit more difficult. So when I found a good gym, doing the hour, 45-minute Sufferfest one, which I think is the longest one. You may remember the name of that one.
I think that one is the local hero, I believe.
Well, I think that was the name. But anyway, it was a great workout, and you'd go on, then you'd recover, and it's 7 out of 10, and then 2 out of 10, and then 8 out of 10, and then back to 3. It's amazing. It goes by pretty quick, but it's a great workout and kept me in decent shape. I was trying to do that at least once a week when I was traveling, and then work the Tabatas in other times. It's a great, great workout on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they I know because I did it a few weeks ago. They have a brick workout now where they walk you through. You put a treadmill next to a bike trainer, and they walk you through a brick workout back and forth from the bike to the treadmill. So,
hey, look, for all our pals living in those cold winter places, if you got to be on your spin bike or like just sitting there staring at the screen, I'd rather just have a little program in front of me telling me what to do. It goes by a lot faster by just following, or it feels like it does by following the program.
Yeah, especially when you have travel brain fog and you arrive to where you're going and you just need something to push you through. So speaking of travel, you talked a little bit about staying fit, about doing like a core workout in a hotel room. Let's jump into brass tacks. If you were going to take a busy traveling executive and dish them out one of your favorite workouts for doing something that you have to do in your hotel room to stay fit, to stay trim, work on the abs, whatever, what would be one of your top routines?
I like some of those workouts you had me do that are five or six different exercises that you repeat 3 to 5 times. So one of those is do 100 burpees and then do a variety of different plank positions, and then do some crunches. And sometimes I bring my cables so I can do some rows with the cables.
Mm-hmm. Are those like the TRX style?
I just have these. They're not like TRX, but they're like the little pulley cables that you get at like physical therapy.
The elastic tubing or the elastic bands.
Yeah, they work great.
Yep.
And I often bring my foam roller with me so I can roll out a whole bunch of different stuff. I can do that quickly. I got my lacrosse balls I bring with me to roll out any of those aches and pains, and then do a bunch of stretching.
Yeah. And that's a really perfect kind of like, again, we talked about Sufferfest being like a mindless, you know, workout that you just put on and go when you get to the hotel gym on the bike or whatever. But similar thing, and I'm even geeky enough to where I'll sometimes sit on the plane as we're landing and I'll write down for myself like five exercises: push-up, squat, lunge, crunch, burpee. And when I get to the hotel room, I got to do five times through that, each of those five exercises. And just like,
yeah, I've done that exact workout you've described as well. I like that a lot too. It's great. And it goes by quick when you're rotating through like that.
Exactly. You pick your poison, CNN or Fox News, and just go at it. So, Mark, nutrition is something that, sadly enough, I actually see a lot of Ironman triathletes kind of ignore, you know, because you're working out so much, it's almost like you could put any fuel that you want into your body. And while that may be true to a certain extent, I think that certain foods definitely do make you feel better than others. For you, what have you found to be like some of the staple foods, some of the go-to nutrients, or the type of diet that's worked well for you in training?
I'm fairly fortunate. My wife's very healthy and we eat really clean at home. And I try to eat healthy everywhere I go. Unfortunately, I'm not a big dessert guy. I've never been a big fan of that. So I can avoid that. But we just try to eat healthy and eliminate some of the bad stuff. Never eat fried, never eat fast food.
So what would a typical breakfast be for a busy guy starting off his day?
Shake. It'd be a shake with protein powder, coconut milk, some almond butter, maybe half a banana, maybe a few blueberries, and maybe some chia or coca chia in it as well.
So not the Wheaties with a bowl of milk?
That's not going to happen.
So you were saying you guys also go gluten-free?
Yeah, we went gluten-free about a little over a year ago, and actually we really like it. We're never big bread fans, but we just eliminated anything with gluten in it, and except for when we travel to Italy, we stay on the gluten-free program, with one exception, and that's beer. That's just be a little too anal retentive, so we still drink beer.
Well, fortunately, a lot of the beer is fermented, so especially if you drink some of the good stuff, it's not quite as bad.
Let me answer one more thing, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also on the road, I try hard to still get my 8 hours sleep, because it does make a difference how I feel, and I try to schedule my dinner meetings at 6 o'clock, not 7:30 or 8. Sometimes when clients want to go out, I try to ensure that they want to go out on the early side, or convince them to go out on the early side, so I can get back. Try not to take one glass of wine, occasionally two glasses of wine when I'm out. I just want to make sure I can get up and get in a 30-minute workout or 45-minute workout when I'm on the road. I find that all helpful.
You know, I think that the effect of circadian rhythms and having a natural circadian rhythm, kind of going to bed a little bit after it gets dark and getting up, you know, sometime after it gets light, I think that I've found for a lot of folks who are successful physically and mentally, who are able to churn out a lot of work from a business standpoint but also stay in good shape, I've seen that to be a repetitive theme. Like prioritizing not just getting enough sleep, but like you go to bed at like it's pretty rare that you're up past like 10 p.m., right?
10 p.m.? Yeah, that would be real rare. I like to go to bed at 9 and get up at 5.
Yeah, yeah. So that's more of it's almost more of like an ancestral circadian rhythm, and I don't think that should be ignored. The importance of, you know, of Mark's routine of prioritizing sleep. There's so many people that almost like pride themselves on lack of sleep, and man, it's tough to combine. You might be able to do one or the other, right? You might be able to be a good athlete, but you might have brain fog the rest of the day because you aren't there mentally, or you might be able to perform mentally but have nothing left to give physically. So that's a really good point, is the sleep component.
I find that I could do life and work better if I get enough sleep every night.
Yeah, Yeah. Now, for you, you talked about having a plan. We talked a little bit about coaching. Now, for you, when you have you ever compared striking out kind of independently and doing your own thing versus having a coach or having a plan?
I had the same coach for about 8 years. So before I switched over to you, Ben, I interviewed several coaches and thought about maybe doing it myself. I've been coached for a long time. I pretty much know the process. But I like the discipline and the accountability of having a coach. And I like just being able to talk through whatever aches and pains I have. I like reviewing different workouts and just continuing to enhance my own learning so I can become a better athlete and feel better, during the journey here.
Gotcha. Now, speaking of the journey, I'm kind of a million-dollar question here because there are a lot of people listening in who are interested in maybe doing an Ironman, haven't yet, or interested in triathlon, haven't done one yet. What's something that you think would be important for that busy person out there to know that you wish that you'd known when you first started training for Ironman?
I think that busy people find a way to make it happen because they're focused and they're disciplined. And, you know, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. I also would say that a triathlon has become a way of life. It's been so addictive and it's been fun. And I like all the healthy friends that I've met. I've really enjoyed inspiring others to get into it and clients of mine to get into it and getting their management teams involved in it. I love it that my kids have done several triathlons. It's motivating and they're inspiring their friends. I just think you get to hang with a bunch of really neat people that are fired up about their health, and when you hang with a bunch of healthy people, it helps you be healthy too.
Yeah. So kind of the warning for folks that they better be in it for the long haul because it's tough to do this thing and be one and done.
I thought I was going to be one and done, do an Ironman and then be finished, and then I just got hooked. It's so fun being that fit, and it's amazing what you can achieve if you got a bunch of friends that are doing it and they're all doing it, you quickly believe that you can too. And then I think anybody can do Ironman if they really want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great point to end on. And folks, for you listening in, I'm going to put Mark's bio and a link over to his website in the show notes, along with a great photo of him running down the finish line shoot of Ironman Hawaii. And the look on his face just kind of expresses everything that you feel when you're going down that finish line shoot. I'll also put a link to some of the stuff that we talked about, like the Master Swimming website and the Sufferfest workouts, and also the previous podcast that we did that Mark mentioned with Sammy Inkinen. So if you want to listen to any of that stuff, you can head over to the show notes for this episode over at bengreenfieldfitness.com. You can just go over there and do a search for Mark Moses. If you're listening to this post at the time that it comes out, it'll be the first post that appears when you go over to the site. And Mark, I just want to thank you for your time and for coming on the call today.
Yep, Ben, it was fun. I hope somebody gets inspired and takes action as a result.
All right, folks. Well, this is Ben Greenfield and Mark Moses signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
Visit BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness, nutrition, and performance advice. We'll be right back.